trust in him. Chapter 19, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And then, of course, in chapter 23, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In verse 12, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In chapter 26, last week, we saw him talk about, in 27, man, and like I say, the soul of man. But here in chapter 28 now, he's going to teach about wisdom. Because these guys need to know about wisdom since they don't have godly wisdom. And he's going to teach us about wisdom as well. Some great lessons here in chapter 28. We'll just start in verse 10. The Bible says, he cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So where shall wisdom be found? Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. We always need wisdom. And Job's going to teach us tonight more about it. And may we learn this truth and apply it to our lives, Lord. But we pray you would meet with us and use your word in our hearts tonight, Lord, to grow us in our faith. And we thank you for the privilege of being here. And we love you and pray that Jesus Christ would meet with us and be magnified. In his name we pray. Amen. So as you can see, Job is not only teaching us about where wisdom can be found and not found, but he's also continuing to teach us about God himself. You probably noticed there in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says that God's eye seeth every precious thing, verse 10. And then in verse 11, he says, the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. God knows everything. Our God is, the fancy theological word for that is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He has all knowledge. The Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him in 2 Chronicles 26:9. And if you look at Hebrews 4:13 quickly, again, the Bible teaches that God sees and knows all things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Most of us know verse 12 quite well, talking about the powerful word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But do you know verse 13, which says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees everything. And that is what Job is teaching his friends. God sees everything. God is all powerful. God knows everything. And so then he begins to ask these rhetorical questions here in Job 28, verse 12. He says, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And then he answers the rhetorical question in verse 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof. We don't understand how important true wisdom is. And we, therefore, we can't understand its value. But if you go to Proverbs 16:16, Solomon had a similar thing to say. It's interesting, though, Solomon quotes Job a couple of times in regards to wisdom. And yet Job didn't even have the word. So isn't that amazing how God revealed these great truths to Job? Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. So again, Solomon is reinforcing the point that wisdom is more valuable than any earthly treasure that we could put our hands on. So Job continues to say that here in chapter 28, verse 18. He says it's above rubies. And 21, it's hid from the eyes of all living. 23, but God understands the way. So after asking all these rhetorical questions, answering it by saying man does not know its value, man doesn't know where to find it, verse 23, God knows where it is. God knows where wisdom can be found. So he's answered his own question, and the answer is, God knows. Verse 27, then did he see it and declare it, he prepared it, yea, he searched it out. So God not only knows where to find it, God created it. So our God is not only omniscient and omnipotent, but he's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, and hopefully his friends are learning these great truths about Almighty God, our Creator. So tonight our verse is verse 28, where he answers the question. Not the answer that people would expect, is it? Kind of like this morning. The disciples said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, do your duty. Tonight he asks this question, where can wisdom be found? God answers the question, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So what does that mean? The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Well, first of all, I want you to understand that that phrase, very powerful and popular in the Bible. Go to Psalm 111:10, if you would. This connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom and understanding is all through Psalms and Proverbs. Notice Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Do you see in Psalm 111:10 the connection between doing and understanding? Jesus said a similar thing in John chapter 7. He said, if any man will do his will, John 7:17, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether it be of God. He said, in other words, first do, first obey, kind of like this morning, first obey, and then God will give you the understanding and the wisdom. That's what he's saying here. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So first comes the obedience, then comes the understanding. Okay, now go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I just want you to see how often this connection is made between the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now Proverbs chapter 9. And verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we see there's no question that true wisdom can't be found without the fear of the Lord. So now we need to understand, what's the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? We know what the word fear means, but what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to be afraid of God, which is how we think of the word fear? Or does it mean more than that? The Bible tells us in Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear. What kind of fear? And if you study it out, we're talking about a godly fear. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, and I'll show you what I mean. Is there an element of being afraid? Well, if you're living in sin, yes. There's an element of being afraid of the chastisement that could follow. Kind of like when our children are growing up, they love us and we love them. But is there an underlying fear if they do wrong that there might be consequences? Of course there is. That the rod of correction will be applied to the seed of understanding and it's going to hurt. There's a fear of that, right? It's the same with us as Christians. We should have a genuine fear that our Heavenly Father will chastise us if we disobey. But that's not all the word is talking about. Notice Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Notice he says, serve God with reverence and godly fear. So we know what reverence means. It means to revere God, to hold him up in his worthy place as the Holy One of heaven, as Almighty God, the all-powerful one. But and then he mentions godly fear and says that our God is a consuming fire. Should the unsaved fear God? Absolutely. And if you think about it, that underlying fear is helps lead us to salvation, does it not? I've heard people say, oh, well, you Christians just come to Jesus for salvation just to not go to hell, to escape hell. And whenever somebody says that to me, I just say, amen. That's right. We understand that sin has condemned us to go to hell, and we don't want to go to hell. And Jesus came to be our Savior and will save us from hell. So, yeah, I mean, if he's the Savior, what's he saving us from? From hell. So there is a fear of going to hell, absolutely. And it says our God is a consuming fire. But for us as Christians, we're talking about a godly fear, this reverence and godly fear. So we need to make sure we understand what this is, because God says it over and over again, that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So let's go to Proverbs, where we find the most about the fear of the Lord, and see if we can just get a handle on it. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. And just I'll try to outline as best I can what God means by the fear of the Lord. Now, he mentioned this earlier, but notice firstly, for Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So one aspect of the fear of the Lord is we must agree with the Lord about what is evil to the point that we hate evil. So to fear God is to hate evil. That's what God is saying, because God hates evil because he's holy. Do we hate evil in general? Typically, no. Our flesh actually desires evil. So to fear God as a Christian is to hate sin, is to agree that it is evil and we need to avoid it. Go to Proverbs 16:6, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on this. Proverbs 16:6 says, but by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. So again, notice that the fear of the Lord is to acknowledge what evil is and to hate it like God hates it, to the point that we avoid it. So what that is it's saying God is right. I revere God. I don't want to disobey God. I don't want to anger God. I don't want to hurt God. So I fear God, and therefore I want to do right. You understand? I hate evil. Just look at our children. You know, they get some pleasure out of obeying us, don't they, when they're growing up? We should get pleasure out of obeying our God, because we know we're pleasing him. So that is part of what we mean by the fear of the Lord, is to hate what God hates, which is evil, and therefore depart from it. And he elaborates on that in the rest of Job 28:28, doesn't he? He says to depart from evil. So he's connected the fear of the Lord with departing from evil. In Psalm 97:10, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You can't do both at the same time, by the way. Because Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. God says, I want you to love one and hate the other. I want you to love me and I want you to hate evil. If we love evil, we're not loving God simultaneously. That's what he's telling us. So to hate evil is God's easiest explanation, if you will. And there's a lot more to it, but God has given us some amazing promises about fearing him in his word. And then I want to look at a couple of quick ones. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. I'll try to do these in scriptural order. You're going to love these promises. And so if we choose to fear God, to revere him, to hold him up, to respect him, and therefore hate the evil that he hates, and do our best to obey and love him, look at these promises he makes. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Wow, that's a nice promise. All of us want our days to be prolonged, especially when you're 51 like Mark. Brother, you said it, I didn't. You raised your hand and said 51. I said, well, he answered the question right up front. That was good. Proverbs 14:27, we'll look at another one. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Think about that. Prolongeth days, a fountain of life. When we think about the fear of the Lord, we don't think about all these promises and benefits. And now Proverbs 19:23. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Well, the world is looking for satisfaction. God designed us in such a way that if we'll live in his fear, we'll be satisfied. And we already saw that if we'll live in obedience, we'll be happy. There in Psalms 111:10. So the fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates, which is evil. Therefore, to desire to obey God, because he's promised us that he will actually bless us in return if we will live in his fear. If you go to Proverbs 14:26, we'll see that even our family gets blessed if we'll live in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26. It says, "And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Whose children? The one who lives in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that something? And then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Wow. There's a lot of promises connected to the fear of the Lord in Scripture. The reason for that is if you're fearing the Lord, you're putting God first. You're revering him. You're holding him in the place that he's worthy of, which is all honor and glory and blessing and power and wisdom and riches and strength, thanksgiving and might and all of that. So God is worthy. Now, just one more, Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. The world's looking for happiness. Satisfaction. Look what it says. Happy is the man that feareth alway. God says we even get happiness when we live in the fear of the Lord. Imagine that. And Job knew this from God before the Bible was even written. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil. So number one, I want you to fear the Lord. And number two, I want you to depart from evil. That is how you will find true wisdom and true understanding. Because if you're living in God's plan, following God's commandments, what that means is that the one who came down to indwell us and guide us into truth, we can hear him. Amen? Look at John 16:13. I'll show you what I mean. We're told over and over in Scripture not to quench the Spirit. Right? So look at John 16:13. We're told over and over in Scripture that we're to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God, the Bible says. Proverbs 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So one of the things the Holy Spirit will do for us is show us wisdom and understanding in his word. That's one of the reasons why he is here indwelling us as God's children. But if we can't hear him, then we're not going to get that understanding. We're not going to get that wisdom. And if we are not fearing the Lord, we're not hearing the Holy Spirit. So do you see the connection? If we're not hating evil, but instead involved in evil, we've now quenched the Spirit of God. Therefore, we can't hear the Spirit of God, and therefore, we can't gain wisdom and understanding. So we see how God has connected our behavior with our knowledge. And often we keep those two things separate from each other, don't we? We've got our behavior over here, what we do. We've got what we've learned over here. God says, no, you can't disconnect them. If your behavior is in line with what I want it to be, I will give you the wisdom. I'll give you the understanding. If your behavior is not, I will not give you the understanding and the wisdom. So the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. I think we looked. No, we didn't look at Proverbs 16. Yes, we did. Mercy and truth is purged, and the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And then we'll look at one more verse, 1 John 5:3. Well, for this point, maybe. 1 John 5:3. Look what it says. I quoted this morning. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Did you know when we're living in sin, we consider His commandments grievous, don't we? We consider them unreasonable. We consider them not fair. We consider them a heavy burden. But God says His commandments are none of those things. But that's what the devil does. He makes them seem grievous, which leads us to disobedience, which means we're not fearing the Lord, which means we're not learning and growing in our wisdom and understanding of God's word. So where does it all begin? Same place it did this morning. Obedience. Obeying God's word by departing from evil, following God's commands, and then God promised if we'll do those things, He will give us all these blessings that we just read about in the book of Proverbs. Happiness, satisfaction, longer days, if we will just but learn to live in the fear of the Lord. And you know, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, when the first church was getting started, over and over it says, and they were growing in the fear of the Lord. Growing in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? They were growing in their reverence of God and who He was for them, but also growing in their hatred for sin. Because it's sin that led our Savior to Calvary. Our sin. And God wants us to hate it, to depart from it, that we might gain the wisdom and understanding He wants us to gain as we live in the fear of the Lord. Quite beautiful, isn't it? How He connects behavior with knowledge. Amen. Let's pray.